Welcome back to the Panther Press Podcast. I'm Sarah Issa, and today we're here with part one of our two-part series, getting a closer look at the Griffith Theatre Company's spring musical, Annie. In part one, we will be going over the audition and casting process. I'll be talking to some of the cast to get a closer look at what they have to prepare. Then I'll talk to Ms. Parker, head of the GTC, to get insight on the roles of a director in the stage of the show.
And today we are here with some of the cast members for our upcoming spring production of the musical Annie.
Could you guys please introduce yourselves and your characters?
My name is Bella Andreessen, and I play the role of Molly.
My name is Annalisa Fuentes, and I am part of Ensemble and a featured dancer.
My name is Nathan Pinkleton. I'm a New York City street musician.
And my name is Maxwell R. Shamble, and I play the role as Rooster Hannigan.
Could you guys please walk us through what goes on during auditions?
It's a jam-packed week. You start the week on Monday with reading and vocal, and it's the same on Tuesday with reading and vocal. And let me tell you, the directors take forever to make decisions. And then Wednesday is typically the dance portion of the audition, which is really fun because it's just a full day of dance. And then on Thursday is callback day, and that is when your name will potentially be on a list, and that is when the directors want to see you again. And normally for callbacks, they give you things, and you have to either read or sing it cold, which is when you don't know anything beforehand, so it could literally be anything, and they really just want to test you and put you on the spot. And then Friday is a sigh of relief for everyone, most of the time, because that's when the cast list comes out.
So you mentioned how you guys have vocal and choreo and all the auditions, especially for a musical. What do you guys think is the most nerve-wracking part?
I think, for me personally at least, I think the most nerve-wracking part is the vocal. I don't know if that's just like a person. I think it is a personal thing because I don't feel the strongest in my singing. And if it is just like cold reading the song and having to sing it, I know I need time to practice my song. So when that happens, I'm a little iffy.
For me, I felt like I was most like nervous about acting. I haven't really done drama before, so that was like definitely one of my things that I was like, I don't know if I can do this well.
I also feel like vocals is very hard. I feel like it's harder when callbacks come around because you're given music that you've never seen before and you have to learn it in one or two run-throughs.
All right. And that goes right into our next question of, for you personally, do you think that callbacks or the regular auditions are more scary? Which do you get more nervous for?
I think it really depends. 'Cause with callbacks, your name may be on the list, but you're still not guaranteed a role in the show because, you know, seeing your name on the list, it definitely heightens your chance of being, like, in the final cast, but not everyone who has been in the final cast has gotten a callback. But I think callbacks is definitely more nerve-wracking because majority is you're reading everything cold and it's new, and auditioning in front of your directors again is definitely really scary, especially in a smaller group, too.
I think I agree with that completely, actually. I think knowing that you're being considered is a little nerve-wracking because it's like, okay, I made it here. Now I can't disappoint them, and they're going to give you whatever role you have to read for. And, you know, you have to try and play that person, but at the same time, it's like, what if they don't like me? What if I'm doing this wrong? What am I supposed to do? It feels like more thoughts running through your brain.
And then once you've made that callback list, like how do you feel? I know it kind of adds on to what you guys already said. But
I feel like when callbacks come out, I feel like it's sometimes more nerve-wracking than the actual cast list. And like, if you don't see your name on it, you feel like you're not going to get a part at all, which is not true, but it feels like that versus when you do get on it. It still is nerve-wracking, but it's like a sigh of relief.
So after you've made it to the callback list and you've finished your callback auditions and the finalist. How does that get revealed to you guys? How do you guys find out? What are the feelings? Tell us everything.
Well, during the entire day, it's definitely anxiety filled, and it is probably the most stressful day of the year because Parker does not release the final cast list until the end of the day, so you have to wait until the very end of the day. And it's sort of a huge congregation of every single person that auditioned, and they're just waiting, and it's mass chaos because once Parker puts up that list, like, everyone runs down to see if their name is on it. And there's definitely lots of emotions, lots of happy emotions, but sometimes there's also, you know, people who aren't very happy with their role, and, you know, it's just sort of, it's mixed emotions for everyone. It's definitely bittersweet, especially, like, if you got the role that you wanted, but maybe your friend didn't. But once you see your name on the cast list, it's definitely a sigh of relief.
I feel like leading up to the getting the cast list getting put out, it's really filled with both anxiousness and anticipation because you're like, oh my gosh, like, I just really want to find out, am I going to be on it or not? And it's kind of like that, I just want to find out, like, now. You just want to know as soon as they decide so then you can digest it better, but that's not what it's like. And like Bella said, there's definitely, once it goes up, a lot of emotions, depending on what you got and, like, what you went in for.
Okay, so, and then finally, so you personally, when you see the final cast list, like, what do you feel? I mean, obviously it varies from role to role.
Especially for this show, like, how did you guys feel seeing your name on the list for the role you guys got?
So for this show, it's my first musical, and I was really, when I started to, like, look into the show to, like, what was I going to try out for, what was I going to do, I was probably just going to go for crew or a small ensemble part, but as the week digressed, it got closer and closer to me realizing that, hey, I might get a big role, and when I saw that I got Rooster this year, I felt like it was amazing, but also a big responsibility.
For me, you know, getting casted in this show, I feel like I was really, really lucky. To be honest, I feel like I say this because I'm quite sure, I'm like 99% sure my role was made up for the show.
Just so you can get a part?
Just, yeah, I literally have a part that does not exist in the original cast. So on that point, I feel very lucky. I'm very happy they want me in cast. So yeah, I'll take anything I can get.
So talented.
And what was your part again?
A New York City street musician.
They just want you to sing.
They want him to play that saxophone.
What is it? Going into, like, my expectations, I always was kind of just aiming to be, like, an ensemble and a featured dancer because that's what my forte is. So when I saw my name on the list, I was really happy with what I got, and I was just really excited to join the show because I do like performing, and I just have never gotten the chance to with the Griffith Theater Company. So,
leading up to the cast list reveal, seeing the cast list for the first time, I was very happy. I wrote down Molly, and she was my number one option, and to get her was actually really exciting. And watching more shows and, like, looking more into other productions and adaptations, I really fell in love with my character because she's a kid, and she's just so silly, and it's just fun to act like a kid on stage. But I think I'm definitely very lucky to be considered for the show and to be on the final cast list, especially with this being, like, majority of the theater company's senior year. It's definitely nerve-wracking to possibly think that I'm a senior and this could maybe or may not be my last show. So it was definitely very nerve-wracking. However, I was very happy seeing my name on the list.
All right. Thank you guys all so much for letting us interview you today.
Good luck on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Today I'm here with Ms. Parker, the head of the theater department.
What's up, Sarah?
So today we're just going to be running through the casting process and how you determine, like, who gets the role, all of that stuff. So my first question for you is, what do you look for when deciding on a certain role?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for within that role. So each character is going to have a certain set of skill sets that they might need. For example, when we're doing a musical, main level characters usually have to have some kind of dance or vocal ability. Now, it doesn't have to be prior ability, but it does have to be naturally there. We also require our characters or our cast members to have some level of being able to read music, because we're learning music quite quickly. But most of the stuff we're looking for, we can usually teach. When casting a show, we're looking for that audition piece to match what we're looking for as the character within the show. So once somebody comes up and they're reading like a character or they're singing like a character, that's usually how we can narrow things down.
So do you think it comes easy, or does it definitely take like the whole week of
the auditions?
Does it usually take the whole week of auditions just to know who you want to have, or do you usually have an idea like the first couple days?
So for me, at least, and every director like works differently, I have like a two-step process. So the first one is like, are they going to get a callback? Like, are we going to see them again towards the end of the week for the roles that we are interested in seeing them in? And then are they going to get a particular role? So for callbacks, it's just, do they have the talent to match those capabilities? And then for the final process is, we're pairing up that particular person with a particular role. Sometimes it's the role that they chose and they've read it all throughout the week, and sometimes it's like out of left field for them and they didn't even expect to get something. So.
And then they just get a whole separate role that they weren't.
Correct, yeah, because a lot of times they will choose something and then we'll have them read for something different or the same. And it's just,
the role better.
Yeah, it just depends on, and it's also like who they're reading with too on stage. It could be several different other auditioners, yeah.
So how does the musical auditions, like, because you have choreo, and you have singing, you have everything. Yeah. Like, how does that look for you as a director?
So it's definitely more time-inducive, not only for us as the directing staff, but also, like, the auditioner, because they have to go through a day of singing auditions, a day of dance auditions, and then a day of reading auditions. And then if they get a callback, it's another day of callbacks. So each day is, like, a different skill, and we're trying to, like, weave all those skills together to see if they're going to get a role in the show. In some ways, it's easier, I think, sometimes for me, because it's not just when I'm doing a play and it's just like maybe me and one other person or a couple of student directors. This is now me and Miss Youngsma, who's our choreographer, and Mr. Dorr, who's our vocal director, and then we bring in Mrs. Hernandez, who's our pit director, so we know a little bit more about the music. So we get to work together to kind of cast the show, and that sometimes really helps with like feedback and stuff. And
so do your opinions ever clash?
Yeah.
Like someone wants something and then the other person
absolutely
wants something else?
Like respectfully and professionally they do, but like at the end of the day I make the final call. But I value their input more than anybody, because a lot of times I didn't see the dance audition because I was in a different room or it was a different day. I don't see them vocally every single day in the choir room during classes and stuff like that. So there's things that they know that I don't that are helpful in the casting process.
So does it ever come down to, like, two people for a role? Like,
yes.
How do you choose between those two people?
That's where you have to then get into what we call, like, the secondary statuses. So we'll look at their availability. Like, is this kid in a million different things? It's going to be really hard for them to have, like, a lead role, let's say. Are they a senior or a junior? Have they been in other shows before? Do we know that they can handle a role like that? How did they interact with other auditioners during the callback and casting process? Was it positive? Did they accept good feedback or criticism? So then we start looking kind of more in the nitty-gritty of things. And then sometimes you just kind of have a vibe. Does that person really embody the character?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Parker.
You're welcome.
I'm glad we got an insight look on how you pick the roles for the shows. And thank you so much for joining us.
Nobody wants to be in my brain most of the time. So thanks, Sarah, for getting in there for a couple minutes.
You're welcome. Thank you so much to Ms. Parker and all the cast of Annie for letting me interview you guys. If you guys enjoyed part one of this series, make sure to come back next time for part two, where we'll be discussing rehearsals, tech weeks, and the actual show day. Thank you guys so much for listening, and if you're interested in any of our other podcasts, make sure to check them out on the Panther Press website.